Last weekend, last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, was a youth advance in New Jersey. And our own Stephanie, although her name was Chum on the list, I don't know how that happened, but Stephanie was there to help. And I thought it would be neat if she just gave us a little synopsis of that. Oh, Stephanie, why don't you just sit here, okay?
Hello. So Aaron and Joshua are on, and now I feel nervous because if I say anything wrong openly. The youth advance was for ages 11 through, is it 12?
Officially it was
12. Oh, I was already wrong.
About 12.
Okay, about 12, but there was an 11-year-old who made their way in through about college age.
So, Trevor.
We really took some liberties on the higher end of that one. And there were about a total of 53-ish people there. And it was really cool because it started last Thursday. And last Thursday, the state law for the amount of people allowed to be together increased to be well beyond what we even had. So it was cool how God covered for that, first of all. So God paved the way. There were a lot of high schoolers there who have had kind of a heck of a year with all this, like, quarantine stuff, and their friends have gone through some tough mental things, and real topics got covered at the advance: how to deal with your brain, how to think about college, how to think about things happening in the world. And then the topic was Christ in you, and everyone by the end of it just had gotten like a shot in the arm and was really excited. There's a lot of unity among that age group up in Jersey, and there's a lot of new people who I hadn't even met, and I haven't been gone that long. The word is moving. The high schoolers are speaking the word to each other. There's a new girl there who was, newish. She's been around for a while. New to me, Erin, okay? She does, like, plays with her school. So there's another believer who was in the play with her, and when this girl was supposed to go out on stage to perform, her mic stopped working. So this believer girl was like, I'm going to pray for it. And she prayed for the microphone, and then it worked. And so she's been coming to fellowship ever since. There is a lot happening. The word is moving. And it was so great that of all the things that haven't worked out to happen this year, that this happened. And these guys really needed it, and the word's really moving. These guys mean business. The high schoolers taught God's word like they've been doing this for centuries. I mean, they were amazing. So, is that okay? Can you just give me a thumbs up? Just pretend it's fine. So, is that enough?
Thank you.
Okay.
Take your Bibles, please. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians. This past Tuesday, I taught at Jeff's Fellowship, and I gave everybody a challenge. You guys remember what I challenged us all to do that were there? What was it?
Speak the word to someone.
How do you know that?
It was on the Google.
Oh, you listened to the teaching. Good, Patrick. Yeah. So that was Tuesday night. Wednesday, I had the opportunity. I went on my morning walk, and I had the opportunity to speak God's word to Mary Jo just the very next morning. How awesome it is to see that you make a commitment to do something, how God just helps us to do it. He helps us to do his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we're going to go down to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God. You can look in the context to see what the all things are that he's talking about. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, namely... That's what to wit means. You can use that on your aristocratic friends if you want. To wit. But it means namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our ministry that we've been given by God is a ministry of reconciliation, of reconciling other people to God. Because we have already been reconciled to God. There's no reconciliation needed for you and me. We belong to God already. We're as close as could be. God wasn't kidding in the manifestations today. It's the way that he is with us. We are with him reconciled. Okay? You are never separated from God. You have Holy Spirit. So do I. That puts us right in there with God. We also have the opportunity to reconcile others, to bring others back to God. God is always looking for people to be reconciled to him. But our ministry also is not a ministry of mass reconciliation. But the way that the Word of God moves, and the thing that I'd like to concentrate on this morning, is how God works one-on-one. We're not interested in masses. We are interested in individual people. We want individual people. I want everyone in the world, individually, to come to God. And let's go to 1 Timothy and see what God wants. It doesn't really matter what I want. It matters what God wants. 1 Timothy tells us. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's not just mass evangelism. Do you see that? That's not it. There's people that do that. But what happens after those people go to that big meeting with their masks on, I guess, today? They go to that big meeting, and then they go home the next day, and then what do? But ours is a ministry of reconciling people to God. And look at what God wants. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to do what? Come unto the knowledge of the truth. That happens on a one-on-one basis, that we help people to grow in God's word. We teach them. We do reach out to people, and then we reach out to more people. And I do want everyone in the world to have an opportunity to hear God's word and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But it doesn't happen by big mass things. It happens by one-on-one, one person speaking to one person. And then you help that person in God's word. You help that person with the issues that they have in their life. You help them to overcome the problems, the misinformation that they have from the world. And we give them God's word, and we nurture them with God's word. We love them with the love of God, and they too can grow up and be reconciled to God in their walk and spiritually. That's what we do. It's a one-on-one thing. You go to God's word, you see so many times it's one-on-one. You know, we were talking a minute ago, well, I guess I was talking, about the fellowship that Bob is doing, the class that he's teaching to these believers in Spanish, hundreds of people. But you know how the word of God got moving in South America? One person. One person had to come to the United States, one of our southern states here, I think it was Arkansas, and she heard God's word. Somebody spoke the word, and it's an amazing story. I'm talking about Milagros Flores. And she went back to her country of Venezuela and spoke the word. And then from that, one person spoke to one person, and one person spoke to one person, and now there's hundreds of believers there. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. And that is how God's word moves. God's word moves as each of us gets interested, cares about one individual in the world at a time. And we help them, and we nurture them, and they grow up in God's word. Go please to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. I do want everyone. I want the word to get to everyone in the world. But it doesn't just happen by us going out and doing some big thing on the Facebook or on the, what are those other things? The YouTube, you know, or the Google or any of those things. That's not how it happens. That's okay. It's all right. Get God's word out there any way you can. But the way that we're able to reconcile people to God, it's one-on-one, one-on-one. Look at this in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, as they usually do, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So a lot of times the people who are going to be interested in God's word are not the beautiful people. They're not the popular people. They're not the people that have money or have, I don't know what people care about anymore these days, the nicest car or the best hairdo. That's not it. Verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Who doesn't do that? You have 100 sheep. The 99 are here. If one sheep gets lost, you go after that little lamb, right? You go after that little lamb. Who doesn't do that, he says. And verse 5, and when he hath found, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Not because God doesn't love the 99, but that one person is lost. And let's go down. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Who doesn't do that? The 10 pieces of silver, it's not talking about forks and knives. You know, people still use silver today? Yeah, some people do. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a certain jewel called the 10 pieces of silver that a woman would get on her wedding day, and she would put these jewels in her hair, these 5 on one side and 5 on the other. It was a very precious jewel to her. If she happened to lose one, she would try to find that thing. She would do everything she could to find that one piece that was missing. In verse 9, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the fork. No. She found what? For I have found the piece which I had lost. Then verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Isn't that awesome? Over one sinner that repenteth. We speak the word, I know you guys do, everywhere we go. But when we find that one person who has some interest, who recognizes the need that they have in their life, who doesn't put their effort into helping that person? Into helping that person nurture and grow in the admonition of the Lord, just like we would our children. Mark chapter 3. It's that one person, we love them, we help them, we nurture them in God's word, and then they grow also to have the knowledge of the truth. And then you know what? Then there's two of us that are enabled to really help people reconcile to God. Two of us then that are able to be able to bring people to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth, it says. That's the specific knowledge, the right knowledge, the one way to go rather than every other way. That's why those article, the definite articles used in those. Chapter 3, verse 1. And entering into the synagogue, there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him. This is talking about Jesus. They watched him. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. It's always the wrong day for some reason for Jesus. That they might, what? Accuse him. Here's a man with a need. He's in a place that he should have gone to get help. Where else do you go then to where God's word is taught? Jesus said in verse 3, said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. He said to this guy, stand forth. Here's all these people there in the temple area. And he said, and there's all these guys watching Jesus to accuse him. Because they know Jesus is going to do something good. And he's going to do it on the wrong day. And they think they get him. Really wonderful. Here's a guy with a need that nobody is taking any. Then verse 4, except for Jesus. He said to him, to those guys, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? They all knew the answer, but they held their peace. Verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them with what?
Anger.
Anger. Jesus got a little pissed off. Why? Well, it says, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. They knew the right answer. They knew it was right to help somebody. But they'd so ingrained themselves and they were so used to herding people into their laws, their rules that built them up, that they had a hard heart. They didn't care to help somebody on the Sabbath day. They cared rather that people followed their rules. He said to the man, and I love this, Jesus had the presence of mind to get mad at these bad people and yet to have the compassion and tenderness and the spiritual fortitude to look to God to help this guy. He says to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And what happened? He stretched it out and his hand was restored whole as the other. Go to Matthew 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. This is a parallel record. I wanted to read because there's something in here that's not stated in the one in Luke I'd like for us to see. Matthew chapter 12. How beautiful. Jesus was mad at their unbelief, at their hardness of heart. That word hardness of heart is sometimes translated blindness. This word porosis, it's a rock like that. That's how they were. They had set their minds like a rock, not to ever receive the things of God. No tenderness, no peace of God, because they'd set their hearts against God. And then here in chapter 12, verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he departed thence, in verse 9, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, asked Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? They said that they might accuse him. Now we saw what Jesus answered already in Luke, but he said to them here again in Matthew, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not he lay hold on it and lift it out? Who's not going to do that? How, verse 12, much then is man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. See in the context here, what's happening? He's saying, who wouldn't help a sheep? But that's just a sheep. What about man? Then it says, he says to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole as the other. See that? Jesus Christ was interested in that one individual, that one person who had a need. He had a need, and Jesus Christ saw the hardness of those people that were around him that should have been the ones helping this guy, and Jesus looked at the man, had compassion on him. One person. He was interested in this one individual. Beautiful that is. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. There are people around us all the time who have a need. And we have the ability to give them what they need to take care of that need. We have it. We are enabled to help anybody in the world who wants help, because we know a little bit of God's word. And with a little bit of God's word, we are armed with whatever it is that's needed for a person to have their need met. You have the ability, with the word of God and the spirit of God that you have, to help anybody if they want it. Question is for us, are we looking for that one person? Are we out there looking to see that one person who has that need? And then if they are, that we can help them. And then after we speak God's word to them, that we can raise them up and nurture them in the word so they too can have the knowledge of the truth. What a privilege and a blessing that we have. And it's not a selfish thing. It's not that we're looking to build our fellowships so much. We do want to build our fellowships because it helps people one at a time. Every individual is important to God. No one person counts for more than one, and no one counts for less than one. Every single individual in the body of Christ is equally important to God. and should be to us. Did I tell you Acts? Chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at verse 26. Oh, here's the angels again. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Well, that happens. It can happen to you. It can happen to me, because there are angels out there, and they're out there helping to do good, and they're helping us to do our job. And it says here, the angel spake to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. He said, Philip, I want you to go to the desert. Right? I guess he brought his water bottle. Verse 27, and he arose and went, filtered, of course. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias, that's talking about Isaiah, the prophet. An angel tells this one believer, Philip, you go to Gaza, to the desert. Get out of here, go all the way down into the desert. And in that vast desert out there, there's a eunuch. You got to go help him. And here's the student. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. First, the angel just told him, go to the desert. So then he goes, okay, well, there's the chariot. Go over to that chariot. And Philip ran thither. Wow. He was excited to do what God wanted him to do. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Honestly, guys, there are a lot of people out there who are reading the scriptures and getting zero out of it. That's sad. And there are people that do read the scriptures and understand. But here's a guy who had taken this trip. It's not easy going from Africa up to Jerusalem. It's a big deal to do that. He had some spiritual hunger, yet he's reading something that they read all the time in the synagogue, Isaiah, and he didn't understand it. That's kind of sad. But God had somebody to help this one individual. And it says, verse 30, and Philip ran to him. He said, you understand? And he said, how can I? Except somebody should guide me. You know, it kind of makes me get a little emotional. This poor guy who had a desire to know something about God, and he has the scriptures, the very scriptures that God wrote, had written, had them right there with him, and he goes, here it is, everything that I need to know in life. You know, like it tells us in Peter, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, even my $1 Bible, which, by the way, is still working. See, a little duct tape. Here he is. He has this very word of God, and yet he goes, I don't get a damn thing out of it. How can we accept somebody help me? Well, he was in luck. Luck had nothing to do with it. God sent Philip to this guy. And it said, verse 31, except some man should guide me, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with them. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Then the eunuch turns to him in verse 34, and he answers Philip and said, I pray thee, who's he talking about? Who's this prophet talking about? Then Philip did one thing first. What? Opened his mouth. Remember, if we open our mouth, God will even give us the words to speak. He opened his mouth, and at the same scripture preached unto him what? Jesus was the one who was to fulfill those verses that this eunuch was reading there. And he did fulfill it by this time. He had fulfilled it. And here Philip was able to enlighten this eunuch. This eunuch is never written about anymore in the Bible. I have no idea what he did. But maybe he went back to Ethiopia. And maybe He taught some people about God and his word. And that's all that we could ask as far as moving God's word, is that we speak to an individual and then give them God's word, nurture them, help them in the body of Christ. And I don't know, maybe they'll also speak the word to somebody else. That's the privilege that we have and the joy that we have, like Paul wrote about by revelation in the epistles, the joy and crown. The joy and crown of us are those believers that we've spoken the word of God to, that believe, and we know they're going to be at the return of Christ. What a gift that we can give to somebody else, and what a joy for our own hearts that we were able to reconcile somebody to God. I just think that the need is obvious. People out there that even have Bibles, some of them understand some of it. Some of them understand it better than we do. But I can tell you, I know that we are enabled to be able to help anyone who has a need because we know God's word and we have something that we can help. What does it take? Just the compassion in our hearts to raise that one sheep out of the pit, to help that one person, that one sinner who repents. And then us and the angels have a big party. This one sinner who repented got born again. How awesome that is. What a privilege. And I think that's all we'll cover today. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thankful for how loving and caring you are in our lives and that you have reconciled, you've blessed us, you've helped us. And like you said in the manifestations, Father, there is no other place. You're it. And we can go to you and you can take care of our every need. And then help us, Father, when we reach out to one person at a time to speak your word, to reconcile them, to help them, that they also can come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm so very thankful, Father, that we also know that we can help somebody for eternity by doing that. Thanks for the privilege of sharing your word today, Father. I'm always blessed and humbled by your word and the opportunity to share it. I pray for our giving and our abundantly sharing, and Father, for the privilege we have of doing that to prove you in our lives. And I pray, Father, for us and the little things that we have going on. Maybe they seem big to us, but not big to you. That you take care of those things, Father, and help us, please, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if you need to get ministered to healing, we also have the ability as believers with the Spirit of God in us to help you, to help each other. If I get sick, you know what I do first? I ask somebody to pray for me because God says he heals us. God says he can do that. And each of us with the Spirit of God in Christ in us have the ability to help each other that way spiritually. So today, if there's something in your life, if you need it, there's a believer here who can pray for you and can help you with that. And then why don't we also believe and expect that God's going to do that? That God's going to give us the deliverance that we need in our lives. God needs us. God wants us here on this earth to be our best so we can go out there and speak his word to people. So we can reconcile others back to him. He wants every one of us taken care of with any need that we have in our life. And we can go to him, and each of us also is enabled with the Spirit in us to be able to do that, to help somebody else. So don't leave this house today. If you have a need, if you have something on your heart, let's get it taken care of with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God.